Welcome back to the Film Experience. I'm your host, Nathaniel, and I'm here with your other host, Murtada.
Hi, everyone. We've missed talking to you and hearing your comments, but we're back.
We're back. We're back for the regular. Now we're in the season, the fall film prestige season. And also, surprisingly audience-friendly in some cases. Today we're going to be talking about Hustlers.
Yes, that is such an audience-friendly movie. People love it, which is great.
Now, you were telling me something about your trip to the movies to see this?
Yes, we went to see it opening weekend, Full House, and people were so into it. And they will just, you know, holler at the screen. Sometimes a couple of people behind us would stand up and clap. So people were really engaged with it and really into it.
I went the second weekend because, of course, it opened while I was in Toronto. So I just went this weekend. And so the audience wasn't quite as crazy as that, but they were definitely into it. It was packed house again. But I was surprised at the end. There's this really fun, like, credit thing at the end where, you know, even like, it's not like it has dazzling end credits or anything, but mm-hmm. It has like, let's hear it one more time for the girls. So it's sort of like a roll call type of title cards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought people were going to start hollering in the movie theater at that point, because it seemed like it was meant to be like a party thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's hear it for the girls. And I was all like, nobody was joining me. So I shut up.
It makes a great bookend to the beginning because the movie starts with the entrance of the girls into the club.
Yes.
That homage to Goodfellas, which I loved. It was just like they're announcing it. Hey, this is Goodfellas with women. Relax and enjoy the ride.
Right. Now banned in Malaysia.
Yeah. J-Lo's too hot. She's too hot. Too hot for Malaysia.
It's actually really not, you know, for a stripper movie, at least sexually, it's really not that R-rated.
No, not really.
I mean, there's a lot of language, but like, you know, none of the main actresses are naked, anything like that for a stripper movie.
Yeah, they found a secondary character to go full nude. But I mean, the J-Lo entrance, like, I just can't wait for this movie to be available everywhere so I can watch that dance to Fiona Apple's Criminal that introduces J-Lo into the movie. I want to watch it every hour of the hour. She is so incredible. It is such a highlight of the film. I want it to just clap and I scream, rewind, please. Rewind right now. It's so good.
Rewind. You're dating yourself there, VHS tapes.
What, people don't rewind now?
Well, no.
You still go back.
I'm just kidding. We still use the term rewind. It's still like reverse or what have you is still on all the remote controls, but it's not technically rewinding anymore. It's one of those leftover words. No, I thought it was very well crafted. Like, yes, it's very entertaining and all that, but it's actually a good film.
Yeah, very good.
Which I have to admit surprised me a little, because even though it was like very well received critically, I thought, people are like, it's one of these fun movies that sometimes fun movies during festivals get an inordinate amount of praise.
Cough,
Knives Out, Rian Johnson's new movie.
No comment. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, like people were just going on and on about how good it was. And it is just, well, we can save till it opens. No spoilers. You definitely don't want anything spoiled. But I will just say, I just did not understand the hoopla. I changed my schedule at TIFF because people were so excited about it. Going on and on about how good it was. And it's just like, to me, it was like a completely generic, like mediocre whodunit, you know. But anyway. But
Hustlers is great.
Yes. But see, I didn't. That was actually opening during the festival. So I said, I'm not going to do that, even though people were saying it was great, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's wise to, because it's opening right after the festival. So that's wise to use your time to see things that are not opening immediately.
No, it actually opened during the festival. It was like the last weekend of the festival it opened.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And not just Jennifer Lopez. Like, it is hard to think about other people in the movie because it is like a dazzling star turn.
So dazzling. Like, she is so dominant and you just can't take your eyes off her. And she's so amazing. Like, even there is that scene where she's walking from behind. She's being filmed from behind. And she's still charismatic, even though you're just seeing her back. Just the way she walks.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, shots of the ladies power walking in this movie.
Every time when they say, meet my sisters, and boom, they cut to Jennifer Lopez walking, and you're just like, heaven.
It's like a little bit like, you know, that famous shot in Mean Girls and other teen movies where all the people are, like, in slow-mo, like, walking toward the screen, you know, only in Hustlers it happens like every scene.
Yeah, it's so great. Like, if they had a gag, that's like the perfect gag to keep repeating. It's because it's so good. And JLo is front and center in it. It's so amazing. And you don't see the other two women, even though all the women are good.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little bit like, you know, it's been compared a lot to Magic Mike, I think, solely because it's like a stripper movie that's fun. Mm-hmm. I don't really think they're all that similar, but you know, when people were comparing it to that, I thought, oh, if Jennifer Lopez is as good as Matthew McConaughey, I'm in for a ride here, because I definitely still think he should have won the Oscar for Magic Mike. But the difference is with Magic Mike, like, no offense to Constance Wu, but her character is like a little sedate. Whereas, you can think about Magic Mike and think about other people besides Matthew McConaughey. But it's like Jennifer Lopez totally overpowers Hustlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for Constance Wu, she's sort of saddled with that, the framing device, which is, I thought was very flat. And neither she nor Julia Stiles really gave it much life. But I don't know that it's their fault. It's just the writing there is just exposition. They're trying to get us to the next thing. And sometimes it felt completely unnecessary. Why are we cutting back to them? And then, you know, she has like the backstory, I guess, with her child and grandmother and all these things that I'm sure in the script they wanted to, because the story is about her ostensibly. But the way that the movie turned out, it's not really about her. So then you're just like, did you see the cut? Like, let's go back to J-Lo. Have you seen the performance given in your movie? Go back to the star.
Yeah, it's a little, the movie I kept thinking of was Girl Interrupted, too, because Girl Interrupted is technically about Winona Ryder's character.
Yes.
But it's like the Angelina Jolie show. It was very similar, I thought, this movie, in terms of that dynamic. Like, the movie isn't really about her, but it's also totally about her.
Jennifer Lopez. And because the performance is just so amazing. And I think Lauren Scafaria just, you know, knew what she had, obviously. She didn't change, she didn't cut the other parts, but she knew what she had because she filmed her so beautifully. Like, that's an already iconic image, the one after she dances and you cut to her in her fur coat with the New York skyline. It's just maybe 3 seconds, but you're just like, it takes your breath away. And it's so amazing. She knew what she had with J-Lo.
Well, and I will say, maybe I already said this. I'm just very excited. I haven't liked J-Lo this much since Out of Sight. I went in expecting, you know, I knew, you know, it's very obvious that J-Lo is like a star and she has a lot of screen presence. That's always been obvious. But so I went in expecting that. Like, I'm like, oh, of course I'm going to be dazzled. She has lots of screen presence. Mm-hmm. But it's actually like a meaty performance. Like, she's actually doing a lot in those scenes, I think.
She is, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that's not dialogue based. And I was just like watching her face and like, she's giving you a lot about the character. Like, she was very invested. I was thinking of this conversation I had with Nick once about Diane Kruger. Mm-hmm. And how we were saying Diane Kruger sometimes is so sensational in movies, and other times you're like, huh, Diane Kruger. Like, you don't think of her. And it's one of these things where certain actors, like, they only really turn up the volume if they're super, super excited about the role. Mm-hmm. And then you can see certainly all their colors and, like, all the stuff they have inside them that they just aren't called to use in a lot of roles because the roles aren't as good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then suddenly you realize, oh, this is a great actor, and they just never have great material.
Yeah. Yeah, she's so great. And, like, it's also, to your point, a full-bodied performance. Like, it's not just face. She's giving you everything in every scene. And she's so charismatic. Like, it's such a good performance, also coupled with just the charisma of a star. Like, she found the perfect role, and she, to your point, invested so much in it. So it's just the perfect marriage of a great performance plus the star charisma, and you just can't take your eyes off her in every second that she's in the movie. Like, I think that the hype is real. Like, sometimes the hype is like, you're like, huh? Like, especially when you go, like, us, you know, I saw the movie also opening weekend, but after all, the hype has already been out. And you're like, you know, you have this attitude of, like, show me. But it's like, the minute she appears, you're just like, okay, I'm a disciple in the church of J-Lo. Go ahead, girl.
Yeah, I had that experience with Parasite 2, which we'll be talking about a lot next month. Because it opens very soon, October 11th, I believe. And but there's been so much hype for that movie that I went into my screening like a month ago or so. And like, all right, Bong Joon-ho, what do you got for me? You know, like a little like cynical.
Yeah.
Even though I've liked a lot of his movies, I was like, you know, this is, let's calm down, everyone. So for the first half hour, I was very trying to resist it. And then I was just like, fuck it. This is a masterpiece. Everybody was right about it, you know.
And so is J-Lo. What a masterpiece performance. Jennifer Lopez. It's so fun. Like, somebody, like, I have loved J-Lo forever, like, since she first appeared. And, you know, I loved her song. Do you remember when she and Ricky Martin had the two number one hits? She had If You Had My Love, and he had Living La Vida Loca. And it was a great, that's when I fell in love with her. And I was, you know, very young then. I loved her so much in that. And then she did all the movies, and then she did Waiting for Tonight. And even though the movies haven't been great, I still saw all of them. Even last year, I gave myself a Christmas present and went and saw Second Act, which is her movie from last year, which wasn't great. But, you know, I love J-Lo. She's always great. I love Made in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So it's so fun to see her, like, you know, take control like this. It's amazing.
Yeah. So the Oscar buzz is real, people. You've probably seen it by now. She's definitely getting nominated.
Yeah, I think so. And it's such a good story. And she is such a big star. And she's playing, you know, if you see her interviews, she's sort of, her narrative is that she's an underdog with kind of the praise she's getting, that she's never gotten it. So, and that coupled with all the other things that are going on in her life, like, you know, what she just did this weekend in Milan, I think she can win. If she gets nominated. I mean, it's too early, all of that.
Yeah.
But she can. It's, the story is just too damn good.
Yeah, they have to watch the movie. But I think they will, because big hit and all that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other, because I also loved Kiki Palmer. Like, I know J-Lo just takes the whole conversation, but Kiki was so funny. And also, she's, like, happening at this time on social media and stuff as a funny person with the meme, the I'm Sorry for That Man meme. But also, but she's just funny in the movie.
Yeah, she is. Like, I think it was either Chris or Joe, like, saying, best line reading from Tiff was, we love you, Gary.
Yeah.
By Kiki Palmer. And I was just like, wait, how is that a great line reading? But I hadn't seen the movie yet. And then I was just like laughing so hard when she said that in the movie. Yeah. So,
also, I love... Go ahead, sorry.
No, the whole cast is really good. Like, Lily Reinhart is really, like, fun. Like, her recurring gag, it seems stupid, but she really sells it.
It's fun, yeah. I want to say just one thing about Kiki I also love beside that line, that whole Gary scene is great, and she's the best thing in it. Yeah. But also I loved like when she just gets overwhelmed when one of the guys they're trying to revive him and they go to the hospital and he's not getting revived and she just gives up. She just runs away. And it is the funniest running away ever because it's slow, but she's also because she's on high heels. It's so funny. Like she's such a funny physical comedian. She's so great.
Who knew? I mean, I didn't know this about her. I've seen her in movies since Aquila and the Bee. I think that was her debut, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've been seeing her since then, but I didn't know she had this in her. She was very funny. I loved her in this.
Yeah, I hope this is like a breakout for her and she gets more parts because I want to see more of her. Definitely.
Yeah. And of course, like, I mean, everybody was funny in it, but like I was waiting for Lizzo, but she really has like 2 seconds.
Yes. But how amazing is Cardi B?
Hilarious.
They gave Cardi B the perfect part because she's not in it for long, but right. She gets to teach them how to dance. And it's so funny.
Yeah, she's really funny too. So do you think this is going comedy at the Globes?
I don't know. It's too much of a crime drama, isn't it?
Like, well, that's it is the thing. Only. It's kind of like there's a lot of movies like this, and then everybody complains when they get classed as comedies, but. Well, you haven't seen Marriage Story yet, right?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, that's another one where, yes, it's... If you really look at the synopsis and all that, it's, like, completely a drama, but it's super funny, and that's totally true of Hustlers, too.
Yeah. I mean, look at us. We just talked about it for 20 minutes, and we just... If you heard us and you haven't seen the movie, you would think it was this hilarious big comedy, but it's such a crime drama, but the memorable parts are comedy, and there is a lot of comedy in it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could classify it as comedy. We'll see what they do. If they do, I could totally see it getting nominated for Best Picture Comedy.
Yeah, it could, you know. Maybe they'll go the Martian route.
Hey, The Martian was funny. People complained about that, but that was a funny movie.
I mean, people complained because even Ridley Scott was like, I didn't think we were a comedy, while accepting Best Comedy.
Maybe they should change the titles.
Best Drama with Comedic Elements.
Maybe it should be Best Drama, and then it should be Best All Other Genres Besides Straight Drama.
Because that's dramatic drama.
Because that's technically what it is.
Yeah.
That's how it's used, technically. I mean, remember The Tourist?
Yeah. But I mean, J-Lo is in supporting, so she'll get nominated no matter what at the Globes. And it won't affect the classification of the film.
Yeah.
My favorite scene is like the Usher scene. The scene is so great, right? Especially when at the end she's like, "What's your name?" And he's like, "Usher, baby." Oh, it's so fun. That's also a scene I want to rewind. Yeah. When this movie is out, I'm going to just watch it every day and every night. And then J-Lo gets the final scene, which I think is her Oscar clip, where she explains why she did everything and what it means to everyone. So she gets the pathos, too.
Yeah, I was, like, going back and forth about, like, is she a lead or not? But it's one of these things where her charisma is so dominant that it's hard to remember that it's not actually about her.
But, no.
But and she is in a lot of it, though.
She's in a lot of it, but also she's, you know, they follow Constance Wu for a lot of it without J-Lo at all.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't think J-Lo has any scenes that are just her, right?
No, I don't. All her scenes are with Constance, I think, or in the club or whatever.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't get her own storyline like Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You know, no,
He has his own solo adventures in that movie.
She doesn't. I mean, except in the end, that scene where she just explains everything. Which is not a long scene. That's the only scene where she is on her own. But also she is talking about Constance Wu.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt a little bad for Julia Stiles in that movie. She keeps getting, you know, I don't have any particular feelings in any way about Julia Stiles, but she keeps getting these parts that are like the non-fun part in fun movies.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm just like, oh.
She's in a hit movie. Maybe this will lead to something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I don't know if anybody hasn't seen Hustlers yet. If you listen to the Film Experience podcast and you haven't seen Hustlers yet, I don't know what to tell you. Go right now. Drop everything. But I'm sure all our listeners have already seen it.
Probably, yeah. But I, yeah, I mean, we're talking, let's talk more about the film as a film. I think the craft elements are actually strong, too.
Yeah.
Like, costume design is really hot in this movie. And I don't mean that in like a, ooh, it's sexy. I mean, it's just like the costumes are working for this movie.
Yeah. And also very specific to the time, like 2007. I think the movie is like 2003 and 2007, 2008, right? That's where it takes place. And they're very specific, like the Juicy Couture, that hoodie, Juicy Couture hoodie, that J-Lo. That's like such an indicator. Yep, that's 2008 right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just thought the costumes were spot on. I thought the sound cues were great. You know, anyway.
Yeah.
It was a really, really well-crafted movie. So congrats to Laureen, I forget her last name, the director.
Scafaria.
Yeah.
And it's very propulsive. And she, you know, and she shoots those scenes and she has like a feel for the space, because all the scenes that are in the club, whether in the back room, like those scenes with Mercedes Roll in the back where they're all in the makeup room. Mm-hmm. Like she has a good feel for how to direct and stage crowd scenes and go from one character to the other.
Yeah.
And sort of get you invested in everyone that's in the scene and, you know, not to ignore anyone. And so everybody can pop and have their moment, and just the way that it's all staged where she goes from one to the other. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So talented director to watch for the future.
Yeah. It does sag a little bit. I have to say, when it follows like Constance a little bit and her marriage and kid and I don't know all that stuff, but
thankfully scenes are very brief though. Like I was surprised how short her marriage is. Like one of those, it's not as extreme as those, like, remember in Marie, I don't know, this is such a weird reference, but remember in Marie Antoinette when the king dies and there's like a single cut and then it's over. They've had the funeral and it's like her marriage is a little like that. Like she moves in with the guy and then the next scene, the guy is like storming out of the apartment. I was like, and she already has a baby. I was like, that was quick.
Yeah. They're like, they knew like where their bread and butter is. They're like, let's go back to J-Lo.
Yeah.
Thing that
and
you
apologies to our Malaysian listeners, should we have them, we're sorry that you will not be able to see this movie.
What's up, Malaysian government? You can't handle J-Lo? Come on now. Or censors or whoever made that decision.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about the film? What was your favorite scene? Anything other? I think we talked about all the scenes, right? All the ones that popped.
I mean, there were so many good ones. I liked, you know, this is often like a crutch in movies, the sort of montages where they show you how they're doing the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're planning the crime and they have all these like quick cuts. But I thought that was, even those were really like entertaining.
Yeah.
Like the very brief montage where they're explaining that it doesn't always work.
Yeah,
like
yes.
The guys that catch on or the guys that get nervous and bolt or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was, I thought that scene was really well done too, because it's like, it was this like comic inversion of what you've been watching.
Yeah. And you know, there were a lot of montages, but it wasn't like I was, another montage. I never felt that. So they all worked.
Yeah. I have to say, though, as someone who watches my money very carefully, since I don't have any, I was a little bit triggered by all the scenes of them throwing shots behind their back, pretending to drink, because the girls are trying to stay sober to do their crimes, you know?
Yeah.
But they have to appear to be drunk. So they kept, like, and I'm like, that is expensive. all this money being thrown on the floor of art.
Well, they're not paying for it. It's all part of the grift.
It is, but I was still triggered. I'm just saying. I would not waste a shot. It would all be going down my gullet.
So. Well, then you wouldn't be able to finish the crime, Nathaniel.
It's true. What else can we talk about other than Hustlers? That sort of dominated. You saw Ad Astra, which I have not seen.
I did, and I loved it. It's a completely different movie than Hustlers, but I did love it, too.
No stripping? No stripping in Ad Astra?
No stripping, but, you know, Brad Pitt is as gorgeous as J-Lo, so there's that. Although you don't see much of him, just his face.
Hey, that's, you know, with Brad Pitt, that's enough.
Yeah. It's really good, and it's, I liked it. It's one of those movies that are sort of, it tells a story about something, but then it's not about that. So it's, you have to like find the meaning and whatever. And I've seen a lot of people talk about, this is about looking for God or daddy issues or whatever. And unlike a lot of movies, it doesn't sort of like, you know, cuff Interstellar. It doesn't tell you exactly what's it about in a scene where it has one character explain it. Mm-hmm. So I think people, you know, have to work a little harder to find the meaning in it.
People don't like that.
I liked it and I found some meaning, which my review is on the site. You guys can read it. But, you know, I've just seen people find so many other things in it. And, you know, they're trying to push sort of how to deal with toxic masculinity in the press tour. Brad Pitt talked about that a lot. So that's the meaning that I guess they want to push or they were going for. And people talked about, you know, God and all of that. So there is a lot in it if you dig deep. But, you know, you have to let it envelop you and...
So in other words, it's a very James Gray experience.
Yeah, totally, yes. Even though there is, I was surprised there was action scenes, but, you know, it is an $80 movie, and I guess it's a studio movie, so he had to do some action scenes. There is scuttlebutt on the internet that he was forced to do it or whatever, but he has talked about it as he didn't have Final Cut, and so he had to be in conversation with people, but he thinks in the end... I think in one of the interviews I heard, he said 80% of it is exactly the movie that I wanted, and all of it I'm proud of, something like that. Mm. So
that's good to hear. I do want to see it. It's just, it was another film that fell victim to happening right during festivals.
Yeah.
Because the screening you went to was during TIFF as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And I saw Downton Abbey.
How is Maggie? How is Dame Maggie? That's the only reason to see it.
Listen, I was being snarky on the site in the supporting actress chart about, like, this is not the Emmys. Like, yes, she will be talked up, but she's not going to get nominated. But now...
Oh, my God.
They really? Give her... Her last scene in the movie, essentially, is such an Oscar clip. Like, they are working for her to get an Oscar nomination for it.
Oh, wow.
As a career culmination.
Oh, good on you, Dame Maggie. I love her. I think Dame Maggie's amazing.
No, she's great in the movie, but it's just, like, she's already won, like, 2 Emmys for that part, I think. And, you know.
I think she won more than that. Were a few years where she won every year, where it's just 2 years.
Well, maybe 3. I don't remember. Yeah. It's all the same with Emmys. Once you win, you're going to win again.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to hear that Dame Maggie has a showcase scene.
Yeah, I mean, she's funny all throughout, you know, because they use her the way they use her in the series as sort of like punchlines to lots of dramatic dialogue. But she does get a dramatic scene where it's all about her face and she's totally working. She's really good in that scene. It's a pretty great scene.
And did you like the movie in general?
I did. There's a little subplot for Thomas the butler, a little gay subplot for him, which felt like a little like treat for the fans. Since
nice.
Downton Abbey obviously has a lot of gay fans.
Yes, of course.
So that we even went to like a 1930s gay bar with him.
Oh, wow.
Like
okay.
A little speakeasy.
Nathaniel, you're selling me on this movie.
Well, if there was not a TV series, like, this movie would not exist, obviously. So it's not, like, great cinema, but it was fun. I had a good time.
Well, that's good to hear. And people seem to enjoy it because I think it's... the biggest movie of the weekend that people must have really liked it.
Yeah, over 30 million, I think. Focus Features' biggest opener of all time.
Wow, go Dame Maggie.
Yeah.
Dame Maggie, box office star.
It's all that Harry Potter Q factor. For younger audiences, obviously. Those of us who are ancient love Maggie for other reasons.
Yes. I have never seen her in the Harry Potter movies. I've only seen the first one.
I am a Maggie devotee almost entirely to A Room with a View.
Yeah, she
saw that in my formative years, and she was so amazing in that movie.
You know, I went once through just a YouTube poll. There is a lot of her performances on YouTube. Like, if you just Google Maggie Smith, mm-hmm. and, you know, just a little bit more than that, because if you do just Maggie Smith, it will just be all Downton Abbey. But there is a lot of her stage performances and her TV work from the 60s. There is all these YouTube videos, and she was so amazing. There are so many, because, you know, it's YouTube clips, so they're out of context, but you can just right. see her quality as an amazing actor. It still pops.
Yeah. So who knows? We might have, like, one of the starriest supporting actress lineups ever this year.
I mean, J-Lo and Dame Maggie in the same. Give it to me now. I want them hanging out.
It could be Laura Dern, J-Lo, and Maggie Smith for three of the five, which would be pretty amazing in terms of star power.
Yes. And J-Lo and Dame Maggie would be as cute as, you know, The Year of Amour and Beasts of the Southern Wild. Just go it. I want those things right now.
It's Emmanuel Riva and Convention, eh? Yeah, they were quite a duo.
Yes.
No, I mean, supporting actress could literally be like Laura Dern, Margot Robbie, J-Lo, Annette Bening, and Maggie Smith. That would be so much star power.
That would be so amazing.
And if not them, it could be Scarlett Johansson, Janelle Monáe. I mean, it's going to be very starry regardless.
Yes. But you know what would be fun also if we had the grandma from The Farewell?
That would be amazing. They would have to work really hard for that, though.
Zhao Shuzhen. She's amazing. And also, she has the narrative. Her story, like, forget Laura Dern, Margot Robbie, or whoever, Annette Bening, they've all been nominated just a few mm-hmm. years ago. Her story is as good as J-Lo's. You know, J-Lo has the story of, like, she's an underdog. She's never been appreciated for her craft and all of that. That's a great story. At the same time, she's a star. She's running the Milan fashion runways, and then you've got, you know, this actress who's in her late life, who's never acted in an international movie before, playing this part that's the heart of this thing. So that's a story too that is unique to her.
Yeah. Listen, I would love to see her. I just worry that it's not going to be pushed hard enough, because they would have to push really hard.
Yeah.
For that.
So, yeah. So, but they have the material to work with.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be, even though it seems like a little like lacking in competition, the actress categories right now, it feels like they've already narrowed down quite a bit, which is strange, I think, for this early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems everybody, especially in Best Actress, has like the same five.
Yeah.
Six or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think something will happen that's a surprise. We'll see.
Yeah.
Although,
did you see the report? Did you like Annette?
I did see the report. Annette is very good in it. It's,
yeah.
But I agreed with, you know, we talked about it when you saw it at Sundance.
Mm.
So I definitely agree with your take on it. It's like a huge information dump.
It is.
Like I was impressed with how swiftly they give you that information. It's a lot of material, and the pacing is not terrible.
No, yeah, I mean,
like that. The pacing's actually quite strong, but it is just like scene after scene after scene of exposition. So in some ways, it's kind of a feat that it feels like it plays at all.
I mean, it definitely plays. Yeah. I can see why people liked it at Sundance, because it plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on the other hand, like, it is a lot of just, you know, information thrown at you constantly. And so I think that's why, that's one of the reasons why Annette Bening scenes are so rewarding, because it's a little less of that. Mm-hmm. It's more of like ethical questions and reacting to all of this information mm-hmm. dump. I thought she was really good in it.
Yeah, I liked her too. And I think, you know, she gets to act as opposed to just tell us stuff, which is what Adam Driver does.
Right. He saved up all his acting for Marriage Story.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of acting, and that is not an insult, because he's amazing in that movie.
I can't wait. I see it this week at New York Film Fest.
Any other pressing things we should discuss?
I mean, you know, for local listeners, the New York Film Fest starts on Friday. So we have some recommendations for you if you're going to the fest. The big movies, I think you already know about them. So, you know, The Irishman and Marriage Story and all of those. But there are some other films that are playing that if you have the time and inclination, go see Synonyms. There's this Israeli movie about this guy who immigrates to France and wants to be French. That's all I can tell you, really, because it's one of those movies that you can't explain, but it's just such a beautiful journey.
It's not a plot movie. It's more a thematic movie.
Yes, and it's fantastic performance from Tom Mercier in the lead role. He's fantastic in it and so amazing. I think Chris reviewed it from TIFF, but now it's a chance for New Yorkers to see it, too.
Yeah, and I reviewed from TIFF, Atlantics. It's also playing at New York Film Festival. It's also really good. You've seen that one too, as well.
I have. I was so taken by it.
Yeah.
I'm going again because I loved it so much. Yes, it's beautiful.
And
this is also, don't read anything. Just go in and watch it. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Atlantics actually does have a plot. it has a lot of plot, actually, but in a strange way.
But it's better if you don't know anything about it, because then just let it, because then you're surprised by where it goes.
Oh, hey, I was very surprised, but I don't read reviews before I see things, so.
Yeah.
So I tend to be surprised a lot if I see things early.
Yeah. And it comes to New York with a lot of pedigree. It won basically second place at Cannes. Mm-hmm. So that's a big prize for a debut film. Mm-hmm. So Madi Diop, great career, and because of this fantastic first film.
Yeah. It was a big year for first films. Because not just Madi Diop, but largely...
For Les Miserables, yeah.
For Les Miserables, which is now the French Oscar submission.
Any other movie that's at New York that you want to guide people to?
Oh, sure. And of course, but you know about the big ones. Like, you definitely, if you are in New York and want to go to the festival, you can catch Parasite and Pain and Glory early. Although mm-hmm. they open on October 1st and October 11th.
Yeah. So right after the festival ends. Yeah.
So if you miss them at the festival, you'll be able to see them in movie theaters. But they are definitely worth seeing on the big screen. Both gorgeously crafted movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen Pain and Glory yet, but I'm excited to see it. I'm going to see it this week. It's great.
Yeah, Parasite has stolen quite a lot of its buzz. I mean, not stolen. Parasite deserves the buzz, but I think Pain and Glory would have had a lot more hype around it in a year that didn't include Parasite, because Parasite sort of like sucked the oxygen out of the room in terms of great foreign language films.
Yeah, but with that with that director's branch, I will not be surprised if both Bong Joon-ho and Pedro got nominated for Best Director.
That would be kind of amazing.
Because, they have been adding mostly non-American to that branch in the last few years. And this is why last year we got all those nominations. Mm-hmm. So it could repeat again. I hope it does. I mean, I haven't seen Pain and Glory yet, but Pedro deserves. We know he does, even before I see the movie.
Yeah, it's very like career culmination type of thing. If he gets nominated, it's like, we love you, Pedro. That's what it's for. Because the entire movie is about his career and about him reaching the end of his career.
And he's someone they love, and they've nominated him before for writing, for directing, for international feature for all of those categories. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. I'm sorry we only had really one movie that we went bonkers for this week to discuss, but it's going to pick up a lot. By the time we hit October, there's like several major movies every week. But in theaters right now, lots to choose from, thankfully. Hustlers, Ad Astra. What else is out? Oh, Downton Abbey.
Yes. And if you're not sick of listening to me, I just want to announce something for
drum roll.
Our listener. Da, 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 da. So today, Sunday, by the time I am launching a podcast about the films of Cate Blanchett. You know that line from Carol where she says, "What do you do on Sundays?" So on Sundays, we talk about Cate Blanchett. The podcast is called Sundays with Cate, and the first episode is live now. You can find it at sundayswithcate.com or, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, all those places. And it's about Elizabeth, which was her international breakout. And my guest for this first episode is Teo Bugbee, who has been on the Film Experience podcast before. So you guys probably know her.
Yes. We love Teo.
So listen to that.
Brilliant voice on film.
She is. And it was a fun hour talking about Cate and Elizabeth. We even talked about Queen Margot. Who's the better finds? Joseph versus Rafe. Oh, everybody knows the answer to that, but it was all still fun about it.
It's still, those hypothetical questions are still fun to listen to.
Yeah. So Sundays at Cate.com if you want to listen.
Can't wait. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Bye.